Lovely to be with you all this morning on this 14th Sunday after Trinity. And if you've only just arrived, I've got Jackie Herneman here, and I'll try and budge out the way so that you can see Jackie when it comes to her bit. I hope that you've got the order of service in front of you. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open our lips. And
And
our
our mouth
mouth shall
shall
proclaim
proclaim
your
your
praise.
praise.
Blessed are you, Creator of all. To you be praise and glory forever. As your dawn renews the face of the earth, bringing light and life to all creation, may we rejoice in this day you have made. As we wake refreshed from the depths of sleep, open our eyes to behold your presence. And strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed
Blessed
be
be
God
God
forever.
forever.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And our first reading is from Romans chapter 13. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Thanks
be
be to
to God.
God.
And our psalm this morning, a verse is taken from Psalm 119, beginning at verse 33. And we say the refrain together. My
My
delight
delight
shall
shall be
be in
in
your
your commandments.
commandments. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. I shall keep it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for therein is my delight. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to unjust gain. My
My
delight
delight
shall
shall
be
be
in
in
your
your
commandments.
commandments.
Turn away my eyes, lest they gaze on vanities. Oh, give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which stands for all who fear you. Turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your commandments. In your righteousness, give me life. My
My delight
delight
shall
shall be
be
in
in
your
your commandments.
commandments. God of loving mercy, in this place of pilgrimage, turn your laws into songs, that we may find your promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
As
as
it
it was
was
in
in
the
the
beginning, is
is
now,
now,
and
and
shall
shall
be
be
forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen. And our second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 18. If your brother or sister sins, Go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Thanks
be
be
to
to
God.
God.
So, how do you feel when someone says to you, "We need to talk," or "I need to have a little chat with you"? And conversely, how do you feel when you know that you need to talk to someone and tell them something? Both of those things can make me feel a bit anxious, wondering what is going to be said and what my response will be. You know that when someone says, "We need to talk," they don't just want to chat about the weather. Talking is important. Talking through issues is very important, particularly when there is a difference of opinion or a disagreement. But talking is time-consuming and it's costly. And so often it's easier to sweep the issue under the carpet and avoid having the conversation in the first place. My teenage children quickly realized that whenever I offered them a lift, it was usually to do with the fact that I needed to have a talk with them about something, and once they were in the car, I had them captive. Some families are better at handling these moments, and some are not. Some people are better at it than others. Generally, in my experience, the church is particularly bad at it. And we, as a mission community, know that in our not too distant past, conflicts between churches and individuals were rife. Sadly, the history of the church is littered with the casualties of disagreement, failed relationships, and hurt. Church is no exception. I've heard some of the stories, and sadly, they are not unusual. So, what do you do when there is disagreement or when somebody hurts or offends you? Do you let it fester and eat you up, or do you confront the issue and try and sort it? This week's gospel reading from Matthew directly tackles this issue. I think it's worth remembering that the New Testament tells us that there was a good deal of conflict in the early church. The Christian community was small and under pressure from other people. Stress levels were high. There would have been a great deal of frustration and tension. Jesus tells his disciples, that's us, how we are to deal with conflict and how we are to relate to one another. The passage from Matthew follows on from Jesus' teaching that a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus' teaching on the parable of the lost sheep. So, to set this morning's gospel teaching in context, Jesus is saying that everyone is important. It matters if someone is missing. If they leave, we need to go and find them. But it's more than that. Jesus tells his disciples that the way they conduct their relationships has a direct consequence in God's kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, says verse 18. In other words, our relationships within the church really matter. They matter eternally. It's interesting that Jesus takes it for granted that we will probably disagree and hurt each other. If another person sins against you, Jesus says in verse 15, the question doesn't appear to be whether we will wind each other up or not. It's about how we behave when we do. Sometimes we are so busy trying to be loving and kind and generally ever so nice that we fail to address the real issues and avoid confronting the truth. Being nice can be a bit of a cover-up, and Jesus knew it. He could call a spade a spade. He didn't dodge issues. What Jesus does here, as recorded by Matthew, is to lay out how we should practically engage with conflict within the church. So here goes. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. That's verse 15. In other words, when things have gone wrong between people, we need to name it. We need to be prepared to have an honest conversation. We need to listen, especially if we are the person who has caused hurt. And we need to desire harmony and reconciliation. Reconciliation is at the very heart of Christianity. Matthew says that the offended party, not the offending one, should seek reconciliation first. And the more I've thought about it, the more that makes sense. You see, I don't know if I've hurt or offended you unless you tell me, and we have to be able to talk honestly. And it is to be done in such a way as to preserve dignity. Go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone, Matthew records. Disciples of Jesus Christ are to deal with one another in truth and grace. No chit-chat, no whispering in the wings, no anonymous messages from a well-wisher. No leaving the fellowship. Jesus may be encouraging us to have open and honest relationships, but he's also calling us to do so, mindful of the dignity of the other person, and to treat them with kindness and loving care. Living in the 21st century, with all the complications of social media, it is so easy for indiscretion to creep in. And the truth is that hurt people hurt people. It's so easy to lash out and protect our own reputations. But Jesus loves his church. He wants us to reflect the love that we have received from him. If this fails, then Jesus advises seeking help from one or two others to settle the matter before things escalate. Sometimes one conversation is not enough. And if that doesn't work and bring about reconciliation, then the whole church is involved. Being told to treat the offender like a tax collector or a Gentile seems particularly cruel and harsh. But this is not permission to cancel people. And let's remember how Jesus treated Gentiles and tax collectors, how Jesus treated Zacchaeus, or the Roman centurion's servant, or the man possessed by demons, or the Samaritan woman at the well, or the Syrophoenician woman with the sick daughter. In every single case of Jesus dealing with Gentiles and tax collectors, he offers them love, care, hope, time, and compassion. We know from what we read in the Gospels that Jesus never stopped loving the tax collector. In fact, he chose to hang out with them. And Matthew knew that because he was a tax collector and became one of Jesus' disciples. Jesus chose to eat with him, and he continued to be the friends of Gentiles and tax collectors. And the church, as we know, is not a building, it is the body of Christ. We are interdependent, we are joined together. When conflicts arise, it's not about my personal feelings or my rights, because what's at stake is far, far more important than that. What's at stake is the body of Christ, its effectiveness, its well-being, It's life. In fact, Jesus says that how we relate to one another affects God's presence among us. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them, verse 20. In other words, when we are together, when we are united, God promises to be with us. We need to hang on to the Jesus teaching about his church and about conflict. The church, as no doubt you know, is deeply divided over many issues, some of which we will need to discuss openly and honestly. And the question is, are we able to do that? Or are we so deeply entrenched in our own perspectives that we don't even condescend to listen to one another? Or worse, we don't even hear one another anymore. As Jesus suffered and struggled the night before he died, his prayer wasn't for himself. It was for his disciples, that's you and me, that they would be one and that the church would be united. I believe that this is our calling. It is the high calling of being a member of the body of Christ. And may we follow our calling and show the world that we are Jesus' disciples. Not because we proclaim how right we are, but we show how much we love one another. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Hear us now as we bring to you the needs of your church and your world. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord, graciously
graciously hear
hear us.
us.
Bless, Lord, the poor in spirit, that the kingdom of heaven may be theirs. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously
hear
hear us.
us.
Bless, Lord, those who are sick, that they may feel your healing hand. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously
hear
hear
us.
us. And today we pray for Jack, Brenda, Olivia, Mary, Keith, Janice, Joy, Peter, Rosemary, Shirley, Emily, Henrietta, Mandy, Will, Muriel, Mike, Bob, Jeffrey, Jean, Joan, and Mark. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously hear
hear us.
us. Bless, Lord, those who mourn, that they may know your comfort. And today we think of the family and friends of Stephen Mitchell. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord, graciously
graciously
hear
hear
us.
us.
Bless, Lord, those caught up in the earthquake in Morocco, thinking this morning of John's great niece, Bridie, who needs to get back to England. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously
hear
hear us.
us.
Bless, Lord, the meek, that they may inherit the earth. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously
hear
hear
us.
us. Bless, Lord, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that they may be filled. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously
hear
hear us.
us.
Bless, Lord, the merciful, that they may receive mercy. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously
hear
hear us.
us.
Bless, Lord, the pure in heart, that they may see God. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously hear
hear us.
us. Bless, Lord, the peacemakers, that they may be called children of God. Lord, hear us. Lord,
Lord, graciously
graciously hear
hear us.
us. Bless, Lord, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that theirs may be the kingdom of heaven. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord,
graciously
graciously
hear
hear us.
us.
See my pages. Now we have the collect for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, everybody, for your company this morning. As I said earlier, Dawn will be leading the service. I can't remember who with, but she is leading the service on Zoom next Sunday. The following Sunday, I will be back. I would welcome your prayers when we come back from holiday. We were away for 10 days, and then we're back on the Tuesday, I think. On the Wednesday, I'm off. I'm being asked to be the chaplain for the priest's ordination retreat at Sheldon, and I'd welcome your prayers for those 3 days as I am travelling with those who are just about to be ordained priests. So I'm a bit nervous about it, to be honest. So please, please, if you could pray for me, that would be fine. That I'm with some bishop from Leicester, that I remember how to do things properly. Anyway, we look forward to being together in a fortnight's time, and every blessing on you all. And thank you, actually, for being the congregation who never complains. Thank you very much. Anyway, yeah. God bless.
God
bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank
have a great week,
company.
Everyone.
Yeah, have
Bye.
A great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.